Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Richard Evans Thomas from Rathvinny Wine Estates. How are you, Richard?
I'm really well, thanks, Chris. Fantastic. Nice to see you.
I bet you guys, the listeners, probably haven't heard of Rathvinny Wine Estates because technically you're not really a winery yet, are you?
Well, that's quite right. It's very, very early days. The proprietor, the owner of Rathvinny, Mark Driver, my boss, only bought the 600 acres just before Christmas last year. So things have been moving on pretty fast since then, but there's a long way to go until our first vintage.
Sure, and 600 acres, I hear you're going to plant up around 400 acres over the next few years.
That's the aim, at 50 acre tranches per year. The first 50 acres will be planted up in April 2012, followed by another 50 acres the following year and so on until we get up to around 400.
Okay, and I understand, and it might be your marketing blurb that convinced me of this, but if you do get up to the 400 acres, that will make you one of the largest single vineyards in Europe.
Yes, we think so. We'll be up at around the acreage that Denby's has, for example. It is a large single estate site, beautifully positioned on the South Downs in the National Park. Mark's been terribly lucky, well, we've all been terribly lucky, that he's found such a wonderful place. It's climatically said to be the sunniest place in Great Britain, which is a good start when you're growing grapes. Geologically, it's very, very similar to what you find in Champagne.
So you're on the chalk?
We're on the chalk, and we're only about 80 miles or so north of the Champagne area. So we've got an awful lot going for us.
Yeah, if you look at the map and you look at latitudes, where you guys are on the South Downs,
yes,
you're actually closer to Champagne than you will be to Stansted Airport, which is one of the airports serving London.
Well, we are pretty close to Champagne in that sense, and that's all to the good as far as we're concerned.
Is it sparkling wines you're going to be producing?
It is sparkling wines, which is what we're going to be majoring on, though we're keeping our options open with regard to how much still white wine we're going to be growing.
What sort of grape varieties are you looking at?
Well, the classic sparkling wine grapes, Pinot Meunier, Chardonnay, and Pinot Noir. But Mark's also planting out a small amount initially of Riesling because that's one of his passions.
Riesling's not a grape variety that's commonly grown in
no,
the UK.
No, it's not, and I think that's part of the challenge which Mark is keen to take on. He loves Riesling. The soil looks really good for it, and we're going to make a really good go of it, see how we get on.
If you're on chalk, I don't know any other places that grow Riesling on chalk. I can't think of any. In Germany, it's always on slate or all sorts of stuff. But not necessarily chalk.
Well, we'll see. We're not going to take too much of a risk and plant out too much at the moment.
Yep.
But we're certainly going to have a go.
I think Denby's had a crack at Riesling, but they've pulled it out recently.
Oh, well, you know, maybe our location will be more suited to it than theirs.
Who knows? Also, I think they were complaining about wrong clone selection as well. So maybe if you get the right version of Riesling, you could be away.
Could be.
I just want to have a look at the sort of the process that you've gone through, because you're obviously a marketing man, Richard, but we did an interview with Mike Paul just recently, and one of the key things he said was, get your marketing ahead of your production curve. You know, the last thing you want is to be having a load of wine and think, how am I going to flog it? You know, you want to be having the pull all the way through. So getting yourself on board early is quite good from that point of view, but you know, have you thought about branding? Have you thought about positioning? Because you're aiming to be quite a substantial winery, so you can't be too premium, but at the same time as price. You know, where do you fit in that hierarchy, really?
Well, first of all, I completely agree with Mike Paul. This is a heaven-sent opportunity to start the ball rolling early. In my experience, it's quite rare to have an opportunity like this when we've virtually got an open book and a blank sheet of paper, and the time with which to develop our marketing plans and to implement them, and also the funds with which to implement them. So that's terrific. It means we're not going to be chasing our tails. With regard to what we're doing in positioning-wise, Well, sparkling wine has been winning all sorts of accolades in the UK in recent years, and we intend to be very much at the heart of that growing tradition. We want to be right up there with the very best of them, which means doing everything right from the start, and making sure, as you say, that we make sure that people know that we're there. And to an extent, we feel that it's incumbent upon us to do our bit to promote English sparkling wines. Rathfinney is going to be a big brand in the fullness of time, but wouldn't it be great if prior to our first vintage, we've done a lot to help promote English sparkling wine and to put it right up there where it deserves to be, because it's a fantastic product. And several of our neighbours, as everybody knows, are producing absolutely wonderful sparkling wines. And that's something that we should all, as an industry in the UK, be terribly proud of. We've got big plans.
What do your plans involve? Export? Are you planning on...
Very definitely. Yeah. Very definitely. It's extraordinary to look at an industry which has such a wonderful product and yet for which there are so few exports at the moment. Yes, exporting to a lot of the developing Anglophile markets is very, very important to us.
Have you looked at that, or are you still embryonic in that?
It's still embryonic, but we're looking very seriously at China. We're looking very seriously at India. But there are a lot of other countries as well where a first-class product like English sparkling wine, we think, will do extraordinarily well.
You mentioned funding. You said you're well-funded. It's not cheap to build a winery. It's not cheap to buy a load of land and plant them up. I've had various prices over the last wee while in terms of planting up, and it's not a cheap operation. How are you funded?
We're funded through Mark. He is.
How did he make his money?
He made his money as he co-ran a highly successful hedge fund operation with John Horseman, and their hedge fund was called Horseman Capital Management. The two of them decided, in view of the economic climate, that now was a good time to move out of that, and that's what they have done. And that gave Mark the immediate opportunity to indulge what has been a lifelong aspiration of his, which is to run a vineyard, and that's what he's doing. So we're lucky that the funding is there. Mark is determined to ensure that this does work, and if he's got anything to do with it, and I know him pretty well, this will work very successfully. This is more, much more than just a hobby, which some people have suggested it might have been. Mark and everybody involved with this is deadly serious. This is going to be a first-rate winery with a first-class product.
Have you booked your planting?
Yes, we have, for next April, which is April 2012.
Okay. And is it all, I presume it's going to be all machine planted? And...
It is going to be machine planted, yes.
Some vineyards have really good sites, you know, and some areas in a vineyard aren't necessarily the best site.
Sure.
You know, you can think of Burgundy and think maybe the midsection of Burgundy, not the bottom, not the top, all that sort of stuff.
Sure.
For various erosion reasons and all sorts of reasons.
Sure.
Would you be aiming to plant the best bits or not quite the best bits and wait until you've got a better understanding of the terroir?
We have done our best to identify the best bits in what overall is a fantastic site. Not only the soil and the gradient and the extent to which the site is sheltered by a particular spur of the South Downs, but everything in terms of wind direction and proximity to the sea and to the Cookmere Valley and so on, all of these things have been taken into consideration. And I have to say to you that it was actually quite difficult to find the best of the best in terms of choosing the initial 20 hectares for planting.
So you're going for the best of the best initially?
We are going for the best of the best. To be honest with you, the vast majority of the total site is within sniffing distance of being the very, very best as well. It's a wonderful, wonderful place.
What was the site being used for beforehand?
Arable farming.
What does
arable
that mean?
Farming.
That means what?
Well,
wheat?
It was primarily wheat and other crops like that. There have been some sheep on the site from time to time. But when we first saw the site, or when Mark first saw the site, he couldn't believe, in terms of aspect-wise, how perfectly suited it was for the growing of grapes. And that's reinforced by the geography and the geology and the climate and so on. When all the soil tests were done, there was further delight that the texture of the soil and the makeup of the soil was so appropriate for the sorts of grapes that we're going to be planting as well.
Do you know what he paid per hectare for the site, or total for the site?
No.
Never wanted to know?
To be honest, I know that Mark can afford what he paid for the site. He will have paid a lot less than one might have paid for a similar area anywhere else in France, for example. And make no mistake, we will be competing with Champagne.
Mark's obviously got a passion for wine. You mentioned that he's into Rieslings. But there's quite a big difference between a wine consumer drinking the stuff and building a big vineyard and then obviously selling it and going through that whole process. Have you used a lot of consultants in the process? How have you got on through the educational process to get up to speed? Because it is, a lot of people can talk a good talk in a Davies wine bar on a Friday night, but actually knowing what you're talking about is a different story.
Absolutely right. Well, Mark himself, one of the very first things he did was to enroll on a wine degree, a foundation degree in oenology and viticulture at Plumpton Agricultural College, which is pretty close by on the South Downs, which is a great place. I have followed him there, not to do a degree, but to do various different courses covering the key areas of the wine industry, viticulture and winemaking, or the principles thereof. And they have been extraordinarily supportive in everything that we've been doing. They are very excited, too, to have such a large estate, such a large new estate on their doorstep, because there are reciprocal benefits for everybody involved. But the courses are, I can honestly say, are first rate. Mark, I know, is gathering knowledge at a furious rate and has access, of course, to an awful lot of highly experienced people who all wish the whole project well. And it's a pleasure for us to have access to them and their expertise.
Okay. All right then, Richard, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cheers.